We come today to 1 Kings chapter 15. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. In the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijah became king of Judah. And remember, there was a split in Israel between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Jeroboam was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And 18 years after the split, the south got a second king, another wicked king. He is the son of Rehoboam, Abijam. Verse 2. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, daughter of Absalom. Remember Absalom, David's son, who rebelled against him? Well, this new king's mother was the daughter of David's son Absalom. So Absalom was this new king's grandfather, which means that this new king was the great-grandson of David. And we see that the Davidic line continues to be on the throne in the southern kingdom. And it will remain that way. And it has to, because Jesus will be the offspring of David, and he must be the legal heir to the throne of David. And so that messianic line is continuing now through some pretty shady characters, but it still carries on. Verse 3, he committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather had been. It wasn't like his grandfather. David was this king's, great-grandfather, but they were not alike, not spiritually. David sinned, but he never walked away from God. He never turned his back on God to worship false gods. Which is why, in spite of his sin, God says, David's heart was true to me. Verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up a son to succeed him and by making Jerusalem strong. So it was for David's sake that the southern kingdom remains in that family line. And it was God's love for David that kept the tribe of Judah going and the city of Jerusalem under the leadership of David's offspring. And like I mentioned, that was important because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Messianic King, according to the Bible, would be a descendant of David. And so he therefore has to be the legal heir to the throne of Israel. And so God is keeping the Davidic line in charge of the southern kingdom, which includes Jerusalem, because that is the messianic line that will lead to the King Jesus. Verse 5. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite, which was a pretty big except, by the way, because it involved David murdering, really, Uriah. And in spite of some very serious sins, David loved God with his whole heart. He didn't always show it, just like we don't always show it. But God appreciated that about David, and I'm sure God looks at our heart as well. I am grateful that he doesn't just look at our actions and judge our actions. He judges our hearts. If we are Christians, then really that's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. One of the biggest differences is that we have a heart for God if we know the Lord, and we want to please him. 6. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam throughout Abijah's lifetime. Rehoboam, the first king of the south, never liked the fact that the 10 northern tribes split away under Jeroboam. He never liked that. He thought he was going to reign over the entire country like his father Solomon and like his grandfather David, but that wasn't the case. And as a result, there were many border wars between the north and the south. 7. As for the other events of Abijah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Now, Abijah, unlike his father Rehoboam, was never warned by God not to war with the north. And so he did war with them. Jeroboam, the first king of the north, has outlasted the first two kings from the south. And now the south will get their third king. Verse 8. And Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Asa, his son, succeeded him as king. And at last, the south gets a God-fearing king, Asa. He's more like Solomon in his early days, or like David. Verse 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king of Judah. And Asa wanted to be a good man. And he wanted to be a godly king for Judah. Verse 10. And he reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. And during the 41-year reign of Asa in the south, the north went through 8 different kings. None of them were any good. All of them were godless. So there's some stability in the south now, because there's a good king on the throne. And it says in verse 11, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. His dad, Asa's dad, was evil. And Asa's mother was an idol-worshipping heathen. But Asa somehow had a heart for God. He was not sinless, no one is, but like his great-great-grandfather David, he wanted to please the Lord. And so God was his God, and the nation has some stability as a result of it. Notice verse 12. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his father had made. So he's cleaning house. Asa put his faith into action. He did not keep his beliefs to himself. Anybody who keeps their beliefs to themselves, and their beliefs do not affect their lifestyle, they're not really beliefs. Not really. Not the kind of faith that the Word of God talks about anyway. Asa outlawed homosexuality at a time when it was very politically correct to be that way. He was leading. And he was leading under the lordship of God. And a good leader will work for righteous causes and will work against unrighteous causes. That's why they are in that position of leadership. A good leader will not say, well, I'm personally in favor of this righteous thing, but I'm not going to work for it. Or I'm personally opposed to this unrighteous thing, but I'm not going to work against it. That's not being a leader. God puts good people into positions of leadership who have strong convictions, so that they will promote good things. 13. He even disposed his grandmother, Maacah, from her position as queen mother, because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Remember, that's used for worshiping of a female deity. Asa cut the pole down and burned it in the Kidron Valley. And he impeached his own mother, the queen, from her position, because she was an idol worshiper. He outlawed sin, no matter who didn't like it, no matter who he had to offend. And it is important to respect God and do the right thing, even when people close to us may not like it. 14. Although he did not remove the high places, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. These high places were not centers for idol worship, or they would have been gone. That's for sure. Asa, you know, would have destroyed them if that was the case. But they used to be, before Israel came into the land. The Canaanites worshipped their gods on these high places, and that worship included human sacrifice. And that's why the Lord wanted these high places demolished by Israel when they got in there. But for some reason, none of the kings, not even David, demolished them. Verse 15. It says that Asa brought into the temple of the Lord the silver and gold and the articles that he and his father had dedicated. And that would be the spoils of any wars that were fought. Asa brought the spoils of war into the temple of God as offerings. And so he is publicly giving the Lord credit for any successes in Judah's military efforts. 16, there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reigns. Now, Baasha had taken over as king of the north, and he killed in order to become the king of the north. And he was an ungodly king. And so it's not surprising. You got an ungodly king in the north. You've got a godly king in the south. It's not surprising that they didn't get along and that there were fights. The Bible says, "What fellowship does light have with darkness?" Verse 17. Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. Now, Baasha, when Baasha was king of the north, he built all sorts of forts to keep people from leaving. The north was not very nice. And that's because they had outlawed the worship of God. And they were promoting all sorts of bad things up there. So it was not a very nice place to live. It was sort of like the communist countries during the Cold War, and even today, North Korea, Cuba. You can't leave those places. It isn't very easy. They had to build walls, you know, during the Cold War to keep people in. And while America and other free nations, you know, have to work to keep too many people from coming into their country, they always had to build walls to keep people from running away. That tells you something right there. And many people would have defected from the north to the south because it was a godless society up there. And they would have defected just to be close to the holy temple and to the true priesthood and the true religion, but they couldn't get past the forts that kept them from leaving. And Ramah in verse 17 was built by the north. There was one such fort. Verse 18. Asa then took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace. He entrusted it to his officials and sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Tab-Rimmon, the son of Hezion, and the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. Now, I don't know why Asa did this, but he had a tendency to do this sort of thing. He did it later on with a foot disease that he had too. He turned, instead of turning to God for help, he would turn to others. And I don't know why Asa did this. He was right with God. He had a good relationship with God. He could have asked God for help against his enemies from without. Instead, he takes the wealth of the temple, and he takes his personal wealth, and he tries to buy the assistance of a foreign nation, powerful foreign nation, Syria, to help him fight against Israel in the north. Verse 19. Asa says, "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said, "as there was between my father and your father. See, I'm sending you a gift of silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me." And so Asa wants to hire Syria to attack Baasha in the north. And so, if they are attacked by Syria, then maybe they'll quit harassing Asa and Judah in the south. 20. Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. He conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel, Beth-Ma'aka, and all the Kinnereth in addition to Naphtali. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and withdrew to Tirzah. So, it worked. Asa's plan worked. Baasha is running scared now. because he sees that there's a powerful alliance between Judah and Syria against him. Baasha was a thug. And thugs like that, ungodly, oppressive rulers, respond to only one thing, and that is force. It's the only thing they seem to understand. It's the only thing that they seem to respect. UN resolutions and treaties would mean anything to Baasha. It's like they don't mean anything to a lot of dictators today. Never have. 22. Then King Asa issued an order to all Judah. No one was exempt. And they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using there. With them King Asa built up Geba and Benjamin and also in Mizpah. So Asa sort of had a draft in the south to get workers to dismantle a fort that was being built in the north. And he takes the material that Baasha, king of the north, had used to build a fort up there and uses it to build some forts in Judah for defense. 23. As for all the other events of Asa's reign, all his achievements, all he did, and the cities he built, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? In his old age, however, his feet became diseased. Now, it doesn't go into detail about what he did, but in Chronicles, we'll get there eventually, and we'll see in more detail. But it is thought by most scholars that Asa's foot disease was actually gout. And, you know, God prospered Asa because of his devotion to God. And so there was the good life. But prosperity can lead to problems if there is a lack of self-control. Asa's life stands as a testimony to the fact that even good things should be enjoyed with moderation. Gout can come from eating too much rich food. I never knew that. I never even knew what gout was until I started studying this. Verse 24. Then Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of his father David. And Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded him as king. There's another good king. Judah has a new king. And any son of Asa is going to be a boy who has been taught right from wrong. And his son Jehoshaphat was well taught, and he was a good man. And Judah will have their second godly king in a row now in Jehoshaphat. 25. Nadab, son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. So try not to get confused here. We're going from the north to the south. God has given us a quick record of the northern kings, you know, compared to the southern kings. Nadab, the new king of the north, he was a messed up moral reprobate who did a lot of bad and spread his evil influence to many others in the north, where he reigned for 2 miserable years, caused nothing but trouble. 26. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of his father and in his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit. Boy, that is the worst thing anyone can do, as far as I'm concerned. And what an epithet to this man's life, given by God himself. I mean, it's bad enough to be evil yourself, but then to influence others to be that way, that is even worse. And that is what Nadab, the king of the north, was known for. That was his legacy. According to God, he did evil, and he made the nation Israel to sin. I don't want to stand before God and have that be the summary of my life. He made others sin. 27. Baasha, son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, plotted against him, and he struck him down at Gibbethon, a Philistine town. while Nadab and all Israel were besieging it. So, now you know how Baasha got his job. Look at verse 28. Baasha killed Nadab in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and succeeded him as king. And that's the kind of stuff that happened in the north all the time. Some guy would kill the king on the throne, and he would take over as king, and he would last for, you know, a year or a couple of years or a few years, or maybe, like in one case, 7 days, and then somebody would kill him, and then he would be the king, and on it went. And then his army officer would kill him, and then he would be the king, and what a mess it was. And Asa murdered King Nadab to take his throne. Not Asa, sorry, Baasha. And you look at that, you look at the north and what life was like, building walls to keep people in, murder, running rampant, idolatry, and pathetic, sinful man thinks they can make it without God. Pathetic, sinful, arrogant man thinks that they have a better way than God. Oh no, we can't follow the word of God. That's outdated. We got to do it our way. Well, what a messed up place the north has become because they did it their way instead of God's way. 29. It says, as soon as he began to reign, now this is Baasha, as soon as he began to reign, he killed Jeroboam's whole family. He did not leave Jeroboam anyone that breathed, but destroyed them all, according to the word of the Lord given through the servant Ahijah, the Shilonite. Do you remember? Jeroboam was first king of the north, and he set up the idolatry. And remember? He got that visit from that prophet who pronounced judgment on him and his entire family. Jeroboam stretched out his hand to attack this prophet, and his hand shriveled up immediately. Well, now that prophecy has come to pass, and Baasha was the instrument. And it says it happened because, verse 30, of the sins Jeroboam had committed and had caused Israel to commit, and because he provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger. Baasha did not wipe out the family line of former king of the north, Jeroboam, because he was zealous to do the will of God, that's for sure, or because he wanted to fulfill Bible prophecy. That's not why he did it. It happened that way, but that's not why he did it. He just wiped out the entire household of Jeroboam out of love for himself. He didn't want any competition for his throne. So from this we see that God even uses the wickedness and the selfishness of ungodly people to bring about his sovereign will, his sovereign purposes. 31. As for the other events of Nadab's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reigns. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, son of Ahijah, became king of all Israel and Tirzah, and he reigned 24 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in all the ways of Jeroboam and in his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit. And so Baasha was just like the kings that went before him. Up north, he reigned 24 lousy years in the north and made war with good King Asa of the south off and on all those years. And like the other kings of the north, he made his fellow Israelites to sin. And we will pick up our study in chapter 16 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.